हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
So, okay, page 34. When all the material designations have thus merged into the respective material elements, the living beings who are all ultimately completely spiritual, aksharataya, being one in quality with the Supreme Being, should cease from material existence, as flames cease when the wood in which they are burning is consumed. When the material body is returned to its various material elements, only the spiritual being remains. This spiritual being is Brahman and is equal in quality with Parabrahman. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.12.31. Okay, this is in relationship to what was our Akshara. Okay, Akshara refers to Brahman because Brahman supports everything up to ether. Yeah. So, all these material designations, whatever we have as designations, then they're all going to, they all are coming from the combination of material elements. Right? So it's not that it has a designation on its own from the material elements. Because the elements themselves, being dead matter, they just merge back into the particular matter that it's from. So anything made out of earth, whatever forms and shapes are there and designations we give it, will go back into the earth element, right? And that will go back into the earth atoms, right? And that will go back into the Lord. Does that make sense? So these designations, these are given by the Lord Himself in the primary creation. So they're not, we say, oh no, we're creating this, we're making this and all that, but it's actually not. You can't do anything with nature that's not allowed by the laws of nature, which science will accept. So that means then the laws of nature are what defines what everything is. So that means it's already there. We're just taking it, it's just by chance it happens to be this way. But in actuality, it's because the Lord has designated it this way. And so there's things that will come in just the natural combination of things, and there are things that will come by special arrangement. But it's only because of the laws of nature allow it, it can happen. Does that make sense? So the species of life that are there, the things that you can make, all these different aspects are all having their natural original form, and then you can do so many things with it. But you can only do with it what the laws allow. Right? So that means the Lord is the support of everything, not the jivas, because otherwise the jiva would be able to do with it whatever they like if they were the support. Because the point is that one who maintains is one who provides what is there for maintenance. Right? Let's say you're maintaining the house, but who provided the house? That's the one who's maintaining. Does that make sense? So Krishna has provided the elements, then he's maintaining them. So he's the only one that is maintenance, or this sthanam. Right? So then That's just he takes care of everything. That's the situations that are there that everything's in. Then you have the relationships that go on in those situations. That's Poshanam. That makes the distinction. Because otherwise he's maintaining everything, but you're maintaining the situations, you're maintaining the relationships. So both are there. Just because you've maintained the situation doesn't mean the relationship is maintained. As we see, it's very not an uncommon thing. Someone's working to maintain a whole thing, it's falling apart. Why? Because he's not maintaining the relationships. He's only getting the money and maintaining the situation. So the mistake is made, thought that it's the whole thing. But from that, you have to do the relationship. And then what's the point of that? The taste that you'll get. So all three aspects, Sambandhabi Day and Prayuk. So he is existence. He is whatever is to be done and results that can be gained. And he is the taste that you get from that. Therefore, he is Akash. It means he is the support of everything. Does that make sense? Not the jiva, not the material energy. Mm-hmm. They only deal partially with it. Yes?
So, does that mean that technically nothing is left to chance? Everything is left?
No, nothing's to chance. Like that. There's nothing to chance. Because the point is this, you always have an option to choose. You want to be involved in the material energy or the spiritual energy. You make that choice, then the options that come from that then are already there. Then you choose again. But the point is when you're in the material, basically you can say what your choices are going to be. Let us say a man is starving, hungry, and I bring his favorite food. Now, leaving it up to chance, what are the possibilities? Right? Right? It means he could decide to go on YouTube. He could take a nap. He could, take a train ride to Timbuktu. He could do so many things, but we know what he will do. He'll eat. Mm-hmm. You understand? So there is all those things, but it won't happen that way. So.
Inside one block.
The block is missing. I see. I'm missing the block. Yes, the block. Yes. Now it does not. The block it does not. Yes. Okay, so, but the living entity, the reason that it's brought out about qualitatively is the same as the Lord, is because then there's a relationship. That's the main thing, because unless there's something common, how do you have relationship? So, you have to bring out that aspect. Because he's Brahman, the Lord is Brahman, but the Lord is part of Brahman, so unlimited, and we're fairly unlimited. We're as unlimited as you can get, basically. Right? Because even you can say, but the Lord, he's small, he goes into, but there's unlimited Lords in that small form. Does that make sense? Yeah. So we're the smallest, he's the biggest. But because the qualities are the same, and it's the qualities that create the commonality. Right? Because let's say two people are doing the same thing, but it's not that they're doing the same thing that's actually the most important. It's the attitude in which they do it. Does that make sense? Just like, let's say, someone's practicing law. Okay? Now, you have two individuals. They're practicing law, and they're practicing the same law. Right? But one is totally into it for the money. And whatever needs to be done to get the money. Charge the maximum and do the different things. The other one likes to do a lot of, let's say, pro bono work. You know, do some welfare kind of things like that. These two will not be friends. Even though they're doing exactly the same work. Right? Now, you have two cutthroat lawyers in the same field. Now, they might be friends. Or two who are doing the pro bono might be friends. So we can see is it's not just what you're doing, but it's the attitude, because that's what makes a difference. So we'll say it's all about what you do, but it's actually the attitude in which you have that you do it. Mm. That's more important. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So that being said, then that's why then it always will bring out this point, because the qualities are the same. That means the jiva and the Lord on the same qualities, they can be involved in activities and that are the same. Because we can't do what the Lord does, but the Lord can come and do what we do. That's why the importance of the human form. Because he comes and does what we do. Right? Vishnu doesn't take human form. Why? Because he doesn't do what we do. He's God, and never the twain shall meet. Right? So he's God, and everybody else is servant. But you see, in Goloka, when he takes the human form, then he does what we do. Right? Means he's defined what we do. So in other words, what he would like to do, then that's what we can do. And so we take part in that. So that's the idea, we see. So in that way, the attitude becomes important. So even in Vaikuntha, the attitude's important because he's God and we revere him as God. And so that commonality, then there's the basic principle to interact. Because it still has to be, he's accepting the worship on something that we can relate to. He's unlimited, so how do you offer unlimited? No, he comes in a form that you can appreciate, right? According to the nature of the devotee. Does that make sense? Just like for the materialist, he comes in a form that the materialist appreciates. Materialist appreciates money, but he is money. So he's come in a form that the materialist appreciates. Someone appreciates nature, but he is nature. Right? Someone appreciates music, but he's music. You understand? So whatever it is, he's come in a form that everybody, every living entity can appreciate. So that's the whole idea, is that all this is not the jiva. The jiva is just the jiva. That's it. That's the end of the story. And material energy is 24 elements in the form of pradhan. That has the 24, it means the different elements in it, but it's homogeneous. But for that homogeneity. Okay. For that homogeneity to become broken up into the elements, it takes the Lord's glance. And then it takes the Lord's potency to be able to hold those atoms together into forms. So even though the material energy is there as the dead matter, but still her ability to enact the laws, there's God's laws. They're not her laws. Her law is homogeneity. That's it. So for anything else, that's God's involvement. And the energy itself is also God's. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So we've distinguished that what we're talking about when we say Akash is not the jiva, is not the material energy, but is Krishna. But in that, what's important we still see is, even though we've made this point and defeated all opposition, it still leaves the principle of the relationship of the jiva with the Lord. That's the important, because that's the important aspect. Just to prove that we're not God, fine, but the point is the relationship with God, that's the important aspect. That's what we're trying to get to. We're trying to remove, what was it, Prabhupada's poem to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur about
impersonal calamity self-passed.
Moved, yes. So he's moved that. So the Lord is there, we have a relationship, and this impersonal concept is removed. Because the impersonal concept is from the material nature. Because find the controller and enjoyer. To be the controller means then there's going to be envy. See, for Krishna, he's the controller, there's no envy. Because you envy someone who may be able to do what you can do. Right? You don't envy someone who can't. You envy someone who can. But for Krishna, no one can do what he can do. So there's no envy. But as soon as we take it up, he's already the controller. We're trying to be the controller. That means there must be envy. And because every other living entity has the same problem, they're also envious. So we're envious of them, we're envious of God, you know, so like that. So, you know, how you say everybody can get together and be envious of each other. Yeah, like that. So it's yeah, that's what we get. So that aspect is going to be there, but he doesn't have that. Right? So as soon as we take that up, there will be envy. And so you have to remove the... And so that takes shelter in gyan. Because in pessimism, right? If there's optimism, then you don't have to be so envious because it's all going to be great anyway. But as soon as you see it's not actually that great, and it's, you know, dog eat dog, then you're going to be... That envy is you want to control the situation, therefore... You understand? Means if everything's going nicely, you don't care if you're controlling it. But as soon as it's not, you want to control. Right? Government is taking care of the people. They're not worried about control. As soon as government's not taking, they want control. Right? Individuals in the family, they're taken care of. Everything goes nice. If not, they want control. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So that whole point is there. So it creates that security. Why? Because we think if I'm in control, then I will enjoy. Does that make sense? So, envy then takes shelter of gyan. While I'm the enjoyer, that takes shelter of karma. So these two mentalities of this optimism and pessimism, these are just inherent in material consciousness. Therefore, the impersonal concept, all that comes up naturally. Even in the world religions, and we call them personal, then when you dig deep enough, you'll see it's impersonal. Because the Lord has no form, no this, no that. Right? So that's the problem. So, yeah. Okay. Sutra 1.3.11. Sa-cha prasa sanat. Sa, that, cha, and prashasanat, because of the command. Brahman is the akshara because only Brahman commands. Sutra Prakashika. The objector remains dissatisfied with the above reasoning. He denies that this quality of sustenance, dhritehe, is particular to Brahman. Reasoning that pradhan and jiva can also be considered the support of ether. Right? All this space, you're the support of, right? They're really, really attached. Yeah. The sutrakar does not deny this in response, but instead cites yet another quality connecting akshara to Brahman. In the text immediately following, the Vishaya Vakya, it is stated that akshara commands. The cosmos and everything within it is manifested by akshara's command. This attribute, he argues, is exclusive to Brahman. It is beyond the scope of both inanimate, unconscious pradhan and the jiva, whether in conditioned or liberated state. Right? Because we're not commanding, right? And the dead matter is definitely not going to command. So, that only leaves akshara. The Lord. Sri Govinda Bhashya, Shamshaya. That could mean pradhan, since pradhan is the cause of all transformation. That could mean the jiva, since the jiva is the shelter of all unconscious objects, useful for his enjoyment. Right, because they're taking the immediate. That's the problem, is we see in the philosophy, is that they take the immediate and the problems that come up from it. Right, means it should be, if you control the situation, you should enjoy. Right? That's the concept, right? But from dealing with all the different situations, relationships, and endeavor, we're not enjoying, right? So one develops this pessimistic attitude and takes up this concept of gyan, that that all this material endeavor is useless. That coming, giving that up, coming to the transcendental platform, that is useful. And then coming to that transcendental platform, it also should not have the faults of having forms and relationships and interactions, because forms and relationships are the cause of problem, right? Because in here, our own consciousness can never be the problem, right? Like that, because we're perfect, we're Brahman, right? So it has to be something else. Right? So therefore, then Brahman can't have these, because I have this problem, so Brahman can't have this problem, and I'll become Brahman. So we're looking at that part. And we're using that the forms and shapes and the control is not actually transcendental, that's all illusion. Right? But at the same time here, as you see, is their argument is to argue illusion. See, because of the illusion, that proves it. Right? They're reversing their point. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Because the jiva is the shelter of all unconscious objects useful for his enjoyment. But they've already rejected that, so why would they use that as a point of... Right? So that's the whole thing, is when it comes to material... that's why we say cheating is one of the four principles of conditioned nature. Because even though they're using intelligence and they're using logic, they're cheating. Because they'll apply the logical system, but what they're arguing is not logical. Right? So they like functioning in the realm of intelligence. Right, because that's where the pessimist, you know, finds his shelter. Because in enjoyment and all that, the work he didn't gain anything. So, and therefore, being logical, being scientific, being intelligent, being quote unquote, what do you call it, objective, all these kind of things, that gives them some taste. But what they're being. Objective, so-called objectively looking at, that's subjective. Because right? That's according to whatever it is that they say will give them happiness. It's not about actually finding the absolute. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Siddhanta. In response, it is said, Sacha Prasasanat. Brahman is the akshara because only Brahman commands. Brahman supports everything, including the ether. Why? Because commanding can be done only by Brahman and not by Pradhan or the Jiva. Right? Because we're taking, okay, he's the shelter of all unconscious objects useful for his enjoyment, but what about all the other ones? Because if we're saying, I am Akshara, I control my little world, but what about everybody else's world? I don't control that. So therefore, I can't claim that I'm the controller. But Brahman can. It controls all those worlds. Right? Just like the jiva is conscious of his body, but the Paramatma is conscious of all bodies. So in the same way as we may control our little scene, but the Lord controls all those scenes. Right? So that's important. And we've already pointed out that it's Pradhan is all the transformation, but where does the potency for that transformation come, since it's unconscious dead matter? Why would it transform? Right? Something that's unconscious, why should it transform? It transforms because of higher consciousness. Like that. Right? We have an interest, so we take the tree and turn it into a piece of furniture because of consciousness. Otherwise, if we're not conscious of the tree or the furniture, why will the tree turn into furniture? Right? So it's not that, you know, I say furniture first came along because, you know, one day Neanderthal came out of his cave, went into the forest like he always does, and there was this fantastic piece of, you know, Louis the 14th, furniture sitting there. Like that. The only difference was is it was covered in hides rather than being covered in, you know, silk or, you know, something else. But hey, it worked. You know. Does that make sense? Yeah. No, it doesn't happen. So that means that because he's conscious, so that means how does that have that potency? How does things trans form that we are not in control of. Right? All around us, everything's transforming. Like that fence there has now so many holes in it. Now, we were not interested in there being holes there. That was not our idea. But the holes are there nonetheless. So does that mean there's another jiva that's coming along and putting holes in it? No, it just means that the material nature is transforming, not because of us, but because of Brahman. Because here it's being said, we control Brahman, so it's that. Or Brahman is, nature itself is transforming, but being dead matter, why would it? So it's only through consciousness is transformation. Yes?
So this is coming to the point of false proprietorship, that we actually claim that which is not.
Yes, yes. Which is opposed to the impersonal philosophy. But they're trying to use it, so they're clutching at straws here. So you can see is that we're already, you know, how you say, in the third chapter. So a lot of, most of their arguments have already been dealt with. So now they're really trying very hard here. I'm not sure at what point they finally give up, but it'll take them a while. They're quite stubborn. No. Okay. By the command of Akshara, heaven and earth remain in their place. By the command of Akshara, the sun and moon remain in their place. Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad 3.8.9. So this is the Vishayavakya?
No, this is the verse following the Vishayavakya.
Oh, okay. So then, okay. So the point is there's a connection between these. It wouldn't be something completely different.
Yeah.
Right? You know, that wouldn't be talking about, yes, you know, go to the shop, get a kilo of apples, but get those kind of a little more crunchy, the cooking ones, and that's because of that, that's why the lug nuts stay on so nicely, you know, and they don't have any connection.
Mm-hmm.
So there has to be connection. Mm-hmm. There's sangati between verses. So here he's saying, by the command of Akshara, so the jiva doesn't do that. Like that. Commanding and supporting everything is impossible for unconscious pradhan and for the jiva, either conditioned or liberated. Because they can say, oh, but in the liberated state we can do that. But that's also not there because the jiva remains as jiva and Brahman remains as Brahman. Right? Bhagavatam verse reference. The jiva does not have the power to command, for all power is delegated by the Lord. Even the most powerful living entities in the universe execute their duties in subservience to the will of Lord Vishnu, the ultimate commander-in-chief.
Yes, sir? Well, I was thinking that. I talk a lot about this in the modern context, about this empowerment, you know, that people should be empowered to do this. But the empowerment that they want is actually without responsibility. They don't really want to take responsibility for that person, or that person actually makes its own mistakes.
Yes.
So here it's actually different. Gives empowerment to the jiva, for the jiva to use it in the right way. So he still takes responsibility.
Yes.
Application of responsibility.
Yeah. No, the Lord's still in control. So that's why if you misuse the position, then it's taken away. You know, like that. Bhaktivinoda Thakura explains that the four varnas and the qualities they have, those are positive qualities, like the nine qualities of a Brahman, or the six qualities of the Kshatriya, or the ability to take, you know, farming, cow protection, commerce, or to assist the high. These are all good qualities. Right? That's what defines Varnashram. Lack of good qualities, that what defines what's outside Varnashram. Right? Mm-hmm. So we see it's good qualities that make it work, and where we have the lack of that, that's what's outside. Right? So someone may say, oh, this doesn't work, oh, it means, but what if the Brahmins do this or that? No, but that's not the definition of Brahmin. That's what's outside. You know, either due to some impurity or something like that. So the positive qualities are what makes this all work. Does that make sense? So the point is it has to have that positive aspect. So the Lord gives you, He empowers the living entity to do different things according to their desires, but they use it in the positive way, it continues in a positive way. The results are positive. But if He uses it in a negative way, then the results will be negative because He's acting outside the system. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So we're discussing unconscious Pradhan. I wanted to contrast that with impersonal Brahman as opposed to Paramatma or Bhagavan. So
yes.
Why do we say impersonal Brahman? Because we understand that it's the effulgence of the Lord. But since the Lord is absolute, anything that's connected to Him also partakes of that absolute character.
Yes, yes.
So wouldn't the impersonal Brahman also partake of that personal
It has, because it's full of all the personal qualities. Why we say impersonal? Because it's generic.
Mm-hmm.
That's impersonal. We say, yes, you know, the people,
mm-hmm.
but that's impersonal. We're not talking about, you know, entities that don't exist,
mm-hmm.
but we're talking about them in a generic way. That's the meaning of impersonal.
Right.
So this concept of impersonal that the Mayavadis give, and these the conditioned living entities who have impersonal philosophy, that actually doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the confusion comes up, because it's made that impersonal means it's not to do with people.
Mm-hmm.
No, impersonal just means it's generic.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as it becomes specific, then that's when it takes on the personal.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Does that make sense? So we see is that Brahman is just the generic, you know, that's the principle. Paramatma means it's a person dealing with the generic.
Mm-hmm.
Bhagavan means it's the person dealing with specific.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's why we say the Lord is localized. Because
mm-hmm.
it has that thing is, you understand, He's there. But the point is He's still dealing with the generic of what activity you do, that result you get, all these different things.
Right.
So that's the thing. So impersonal simply means generic. You know, like you say, the forest. That's generic. That's impersonal. But the forest is there and it has all its variety.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's thought that impersonal means no variety. But the point is the Brahman is imbued with all qualities. The unlimited qualities of the Lord are all there in Brahman.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the material energy manifests from Brahman, then has all variety
mm-hmm.
and has all the qualities. So you have to use the qualities to be involved in the process of transformation or appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So that's why it goes back again to qualities.
Mm-hmm.
But the qualities are only useful in connection with the Lord. As soon as they're not, then they're material, and so they don't gain you anything. But connected to the Lord, then they gain you something.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole point, is that it's not the activity that's being done or the quality that's been used. These are secondary.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of the attitude to please the Lord or to please ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes the difference.
Mm-hmm.
That's why as we go along and get into finer and finer details, it gets sometimes more and more difficult to understand, because we're generally taking it that there'll be a cultural difference between material and spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're looking at proper material as God says,
mm-hmm.
it looks exactly the same as spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is in the consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Because the point of the material world is to change the consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So once you change the consciousness, you shouldn't be doing activities that wouldn't be useful.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we say, Yukta Vairagya, you can engage anything in the Lord's service, because everything has its natural form in service to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But not seeing it in relationship to that service, that's the material.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing it in relation to the service, that's the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
So, therefore, the Shastra recommends all the positive activities, that's called pious. Neglecting that, that's impious.
Mm-hmm.
Because to neglect means you have to use negative qualities.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're charitable, that's recommended because it's positive qualities. If you're miserly, you don't give a charity. That's the negative.
Mm-hmm.
We're taking it, no, it's I'm giving money, I'm not giving money. No, it's the attitude.
Mm-hmm.
So it carries something. You're giving a charity or not.
Mm-hmm.
So they're both external. One's subtle, one's gross. But they're both secondary. The primary is that devotion to Krishna. Because now, let us say, if we take it that I'm doing this for Krishna, then it becomes spiritual. But still within spiritual, that attitude and that form is still secondary. It's simply in support of the primary, which is the devotion. Right? Mother just showed us devotion to Krishna is the primary. The secondary is the attitude of motherhood and, you know, all the activities that she does, cooking for the Lord and bathing him, dressing him, and taking care of the house. Those are in support of, or they manifest that mood.
Right.
Like that. But what we're not making distinction between primary and secondary, meaning spiritual material, and we're not making difference between primary and secondary, meaning the actual attitude or not.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah, because in that you have the attitude is spiritual material. Then within the activity, what's the subtle and what's the gross? So what's the, you know, the attitude's more, is, we would say, is primary, the activity is secondary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they're technically both within secondary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Is that?
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:87:28. Though you have no material senses, you are the self-effulgent sustainer of everyone's sensory powers. The demigods of material nature herself offer you tribute. While also enjoying the tribute offered them by their worshippers. Just as subordinate rulers of various districts in the kingdom offer tribute to the Lord, the ultimate proprietor of the land, while also enjoying the tribute paid them by their own subjects. In this way, the universal creators faithfully execute their assigned services out of fear of you. Right? Because he is the one that gives them the position we were saying about empowering. Gives their position and their facility and everything. They perform those duties, they get the results. They give those results to the Lord. At the same time, they enjoy that facility gained from that position. So it works for both. Right? So the position is there. So the position of the living entity, their facility, their enjoyment is given by the Lord. But they're offering that to the Lord. But we think we offer it, we have nothing. No, it's because we're offering to the Lord, that's what then provides our actual enjoyment. Because if we try to enjoy it separately, it only gives us difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's done in connection with the Lord, so that's why it's Krishna consciousness that solves the problem. We think, no, by creating mechanical adjustments, that will solve the material problem. It won't at all, because material means trouble.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I have material desire, misery comes with that. So it doesn't matter what I do, no matter how materially perfect it is, it will be miserable. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing. You're sitting out there, you're sitting in the bay, you're sitting in your yacht, the sun's out, everything's great, the water's freezing, like that. Or it's hot out, it's nice, like that, the water's warm, but there's no breeze. And so you're feeling it's a bad day. You're having a bad day. But, you know, you tell anybody else, the guy's out on his yacht. Can he have a bad day? No. So it doesn't matter what your arrangement is, you will suffer. Because you're using negative mentality. Right? I'm the controller and enjoyer. So that will always give negative results. But if you use the positive, I'm the servant of Krishna, everything is for pleasing him, then you'll get positive results from the same endeavor. So it's not the result you get, it's how you perceive that result that creates your enjoyment or suffering. It's not the thing itself. So there is no solution to material problems. Why material things? The only thing is to change the consciousness. That's the whole thing you want to do. Does that make sense? So we can see is that's the problem is, one is that the Mayavadi, they think, no, I change the situation, I give everything up, I become Brahman. But they haven't changed the mentality that I'm servant of Krishna. They're still thinking I'm the controller and the joy. So they'll still suffer even they come to that platform of Brahman. It will seem nice, but they'll get bored. and then they'll have to come back. You understand? So that's the thing. Or if we'd say, oh, well, so if it's not about that, I don't have to change anything, but I'm still retaining, I'm the controller and enjoyer. So then again, we'll suffer. So it's only when I see it in relationship to Krishna, then I won't suffer. That's the thing. Does that make sense? And since it's related to Krishna, I will use what's recommended. Why? Because that's based on good qualities. Not using what's recommended, why is that? Because it's not based on good qualities. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. It's based on my own qualities. Mm-hmm. So that's why the material concept doesn't work. Right? Does that make sense? Karma creates the good facility, but not the enjoyment. So only proper karma with devotion creates the pleasing the Lord, and one is pleased. But one is pleased because the Lord's pleased. Does that make sense? So there isn't an alternative, though we try so many. We're, you know, as the impersonalists are determined here, we're also quite determined. So here, because they want to enjoy, therefore they do everything properly. Because they want that facility, they want to be able to enjoy. But ultimately, when they come to the point where they just want the Lord's enjoyment, then that's the best position. That's the great, gives the greatest happiness. Mm-hmm. Like that. So that happiness is beyond the happiness they get from being the controller. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, footnote 18. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, the devatas, like Brahma, carry or bring to you and offer you articles of worship, along with even Maya, their authority, who is also offering to you. They consume the offerings made by man by your mercy, just as the leaders of various provinces give offerings made by the citizens to the leader of the whole country. In what manner do they do this? They perform their assigned duties in fear of you. The wind blows out of fear of him. The sun rises out of fear of him. The fire, moon, and death, the fifth, run out of fear of him. Taittiriya Upanishad 2.8.1. Sardartha Darshini 10.87.28. You know what the fifth is? Oh, one, two, three, four. Oh, death, meaning the fifth of this list of five.
Oh.
Okay, yes, because wind,
oh, yeah,
sun, fire, moon, and then death is the fifth. Run out of fear of him. Right? So they perform their duties because he is the commander. Because that's the whole point, is that why would they be fearful unless he has control? There's no control, there's no fear. Like that. But he has control, therefore there's fear. Does that make sense? So that makes him, he is Akshara. Like that. Okay, so Sutra 1.3.12. Are we doing on time? Anya bhava vyatritech cha. Anya, another, bhava, nature, vyavrite, that would be a, with a I, right? The dot, the vrit?
Yeah.
Okay. Vyavrite, because of the exclusion, cha, also. Both jiva and pradhan are excluded because of the qualities of akshara mentioned in the text. Right? So because the qualities mentioned apply to Brahman, and this next thing of command applies to Brahman, not to the jivas. So because there were some aspects that appeared that they could be connected to the jivas, then there's ones that definitely cannot be connected to the jivas, but all of them connect to Brahman, therefore Brahman takes the, how do you say, takes the cake. Right? That's the principle. Right? Just because it can apply doesn't mean it does. You have to take what's the context in the general. Sutra Prakashika. Srila Vyasadeva concludes the akshara with the sutra by further... Oh, the Adi... What did I say?
Akshara.
Oh, okay. A, K. It's got A's in it. It's got a dot under it. Okay. Srila Vyasadeva concludes the Adhikarana with this sutra by further contextualizing the word akshara. Verse 11 of the Upanishadic section describes the akshara as being the seer but unseen. a description of what cannot apply to anyone but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Pradhan is inanimate and unconscious and therefore cannot see. Because the text here says that the Akshara sees everything but cannot be seen by anyone, it cannot mean the Jiva. Right? Because he can't see everyone. Right? He maybe cannot be seen. Material energy doesn't see, though you can see it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it can't apply to them. It can only, he's the only one that can see everything and at the same time cannot be seen.
Mm-hmm.
Shri Govindabhasya. Other statements in the text indicate that Brahman is the Akshara, not Pradhan or the Jiva. Tadva etad aksharam gargya drishtam drashtri ashrutam shrotri. This Akshara is the seer but unseen, and is the hearer but not heard. Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad 3.8.11. So what we see is that it has to be the Lord, because as is mentioned in the creation, that he, when he wants to see, then the power of seeing, the eyes, fire, what can form, all this becomes manifest. So because he sees, therefore everyone else sees. It's not that we're seeing on our own. We're seeing what's seeable, what the Lord already sees. He's seeing everything. We're only interested in seeing certain things. So that certain things, that's what we're being given the ability according to our karma. Right? Then we can see. But he's the one who sees, but we don't see that, so he's the unseen. So he's the seer who sees everything. We don't see him seeing that, so he's the unseen. And we, seeing things, we think we're the seer. So that in that way, when they can make the mistake that the Jiva is the seer, but actually he's not. He's only seeing because the Lord sees. Like that. So it goes for everything. He's the hearer, but he's not heard.
Mm-hmm.
He's the taster, but he's not tasted. Like this.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And we're also always being seen.
Yes, we're always being seen. Yes, yes. So this point here, this was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would bring this point out a lot. You know, this point here. So we can see is that it's his unique contribution that he focused on that. But we can see it's coming from here. Vyasadeva is giving that as the Upanishadic term, because that actually brings it to a scientific point. Why use this approach? Because modern man prides himself in being scientific. Therefore, use the scientific method to explain it. Then it catches the attention of those who are intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the whole point. So,
mm-hmm.
So this is, you want to catch the attention, you have to use this, not modern issues and this and that. That's not the point. You have to go beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
Because every intellectual has different ideas of what is good and not. So you can't say, oh no, but it's based on the issues, that's how we'll catch the intelligent. No, it's not. It's by being intelligent, showing the science, the logic of the philosophy, that's how one catches them. Then being purified by that contact, and being, therefore doing things and seeing or appreciating the Lord in that way, then they'll be able to see things from the appropriate position that is being presented by the Shastra that may be seen as an issue or not.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So this whole idea is that we're going to tiptoe through the issues. No, you're going to get to the root of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going to actually convince. Because on the issues themselves, people have been arguing over it since time immemorial.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that there are, dilemmas that are there in the Western world since the Greeks that they still haven't been able to answer.
Mm-hmm.
And the fight still goes on.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's always like that. But if you get to the principle, that's because if you have something that has a common, that's common, then there's a point behind it, a principle in which they're both based. So you get to that, establish that, then they both see the common. So then you can have the variety within There's no issue. In other words, issues come up because of specific attachment. You go beyond the attachment, there are no issues. That's why you see the liberated souls don't have any issues. They can move in the world and deal with things as people are dealing with them. Right? Because the point is, they only see the Lord. But everybody else is only seeing the Lord also. But the difference is the others do not know that's what they're seeing. Therefore, for the liberated soul to deal with the conditioned soul on the area that they view the Lord through, what's the problem? You're thinking, oh, the prophet's dealing in this mundane area, and so it's all right to deal in the mundane. No, prophet never deals in the mundane. He only saw transcendental. Mm-hmm. But the particular, and the perspective that a particular individual has is also the Lord. But because they don't see a connection with the Lord, that's the illusion. That's why they're conditioned. Mm-hmm. Therefore, prophet can discuss the same point, the same matter, the same situation. He'll be seeing Krishna's involvement, the jiva will not. Mm-hmm. But having discussed that, and that, then you bring out that aspect of how the Lord is there, and then there's no problem. Mm-hmm. Right? Just this, like, you know, that example of Stirling Moss? Yeah. Then maybe that's why it doesn't go together. Hmm. Moss and Stirling, it just don't. Unless the Stirling's been sitting around so long it's gone green or something like that. He talks to him about cars, because that's the seeming common topic. Right? Mm-hmm. But the point is what's there, the excitement mm-hmm. that is there in the car, mm-hmm. the prestige that's there in the car. Right? So that's actually the point that's being tasted. Mm-hmm. So Prabhupada's seeing Krishna as that adventure or that prestige in the car. Mm-hmm. The other one is seeing it as, you know, the particular configuration of metal and rubber. Mm-hmm. Right? So, but they're talking about the same thing. But they're both talking about Krishna. But one sees only the external form and the other sees the actual form. Mm-hmm. You understand? Then when it comes around to it, he's going in there. Now, where's going to be the point where he's going to connect across? So actually the main point is the prestige is there, but there's something beyond the prestige. Because the person is racing. But now he's in the you know, prominent league. But to get to that means you have to be racing since you were a kid in go-karts. And at that time, there was no prestige. So there has to be that excitement, that adventure, has to be more prominent. If you're talking about a rich guy in his Bentley, then it's going to be the prestige. Right? Because the guy probably doesn't even drive. He has a driver drive it. Right? But for him, it's going to be that adventure. Then in that adventure, it's only adventurous as long as you're not dead. Right? Dead man, the car is not enjoying the race. Right? Does that make sense? So that, what does that mean? You have to keep yourself alive. Therefore, what is adventure? The adventure is doing something that's actually dangerous and not dying. So that means when he goes through the corners, that's where the adventure is. That's it. Going just on the straight, that's not the point. Unless it gets to a dangerous speed. Mm-hmm. You understand? So the point is that that point. So then Prabhupada brings up the point of, at that point of danger, what do you think of? Mm-hmm. Then he brings it into the, brings it across to the Supreme and being conscious of the Supreme on that thing. So it wasn't that he was just talking cars. He's talking, his car is the medium for his adventure. Mm-hmm. That adventure is only good as long as the negative is not there. But we're afraid of the negative. You know? Like the demigods. They're doing the positive, but they're afraid of the negative. They're afraid they'll lose their position, therefore their enjoyment and their authority. You understand? So that being able to understand the difference between the positive and the negative, because Krishna is the positive qualities. But you're trying to avoid the negative. So that principle is there in everything. So, does that make sense? So it's not that it's just, okay, here in the philosophy. This is how everything in life works. Right? You want the blender to work. You want the positive that you get the blending done. But you want the positive mean it's blended and you can take advantage of it. If what you blended is on the ceiling, you can't take full advantage of it. Like that. Now the ants, now they start to get excited, but we kind of get a little worried. You understand? Why? The negative, because we didn't deal with it properly. We didn't put the lid on. You understand? So everything's based on applying the proper qualities, proper endeavor, and trying to avoid the improper qualities and improper endeavor. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, that is all useless unless it's done to the Lord. So that's the ultimate definition of proper. Does that make sense? Then all these other good qualities and good endeavor have value, right? Because it's Krishna's Icha. Therefore, Kriya and Jnana have value if they're connected to the Lord. So you have the right attitude, right knowledge, and you make the right endeavor. But it's for the Lord, it becomes devotional. If it's about our Icha, our desire, then our knowledge and endeavors for ourselves is mundane.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's a change in consciousness that's important. And acting according to what's recommended. That's why we do what we do. You can say, oh, but it doesn't matter. Yes, it doesn't matter. So since it doesn't matter, we do what's recommended. Not because otherwise, if you don't do what's recommended, what are you going to do? You're going to do whatever you like. So what's that based on? Your conditioning. What's that based on? Your material desire. Therefore, that's not ideal. But you take what's your field of material desire and what's recommended within that field, you engage. That's yukta vairagya. Yukta vairagya means engaging the positive. Not engaging the positive, that's vikarma, right? Mm-hmm. Karma means the recommended work that you've done. Akarma means you didn't do the work. You're supposed to do it, you didn't do it. Vikarma means you do what you're not supposed to. Does that make sense? Okay.
Isn't akarma also taken to mean not accumulating any kind of fruitive reactions for one's work?
That's
in
there.
Spiritual sense.
That's there. You take it to there because then you're taking it into the positive, because you're taking is that I'm not doing material, I'm doing spiritual,
right.
Like that. But what we're meaning here is just in a generic, in other words, there's recommended activities, you have to do those activities, you can't not do them.
Yeah.
So in other words, it's wrong to not do your duties, but it's not vikarma.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a lack of performance of your duties.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So there'll be no results. But vikarma means you'll get a negative result.
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that?
Yeah.
So that's the context.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hare Krishna. Okay, Adhikarana 4, the person seen. Ikshati karmanadi karanam. Sutra reference 1313. Adhikarana Prakashika. Adhikarana 4 teaches that the Purusha seen in Brahmaloka is the supreme personality of Godhead. Summary of Adhikarana 4, Vishaya. In the Prasna Upanishad 5.2.2-5, the following passage is read. So this will be the Vishaya Vakya. One who reciting, and the clue would be that it's in the section called Vishaya.
Yes.
Okay, very good.
Giveaway.
Okay. One who reciting the eternal Om of three links meditates on the supreme person will attain the sun planet, because you have the short, you have the middle, and you have the long. So you have Om. O it means A U. Let's see, O Au A I. They're all long. They're all like you have ah. So they're considered. They have the two. You could say full mantra instead of half mantra, or they have two mantras like that. But oh, Om, well, because it's an O, it will have that. And also is AU, also has that. But you also in the Vedic have longer than that, and then again. Does that make sense? So you hear that occasion, like Hari Hi Om, like that. So that's not that we're just doing that, because that's it's supposed to be that long. Like, or in Ishupanishad, Om Kri. Oh man, I can't even remember it. Kritagam Smara, Kritos, Kritagam Smara. Okay, yeah, whatever it is. But there, because we'll just see the Om, because in classical it only have one link, but in the Vedic it has three links. Does that make sense? As a snake sheds its skin, so does he become free from all sins, right? One who recites Om. Mm-hmm. By the hymn of the Vedas, he is carried to Brahmaloka. There he directly sees the Supreme Soul, the Supreme Person residing in the heart. So he sees there. So that's the thing. That's why we Lord Chaitanya makes the point, Om is the Mahavakya. Because that's what we're giving. Because otherwise, then there's other four Mahavakyas that are trying to support and make the Jiva into the Supreme. But we don't accept those. We accept them. We use them. Like we've seen in the last three cantos, it probably used, what is it? Everything's Brahman. Sarvam Kaldidam Brahma. So many times and so many purports. But that's the point, because everything's coming from Krishna. Krishna is everything. Therefore, everything has to be seen in connection with Krishna. That's the context. But they misuse that everything's Brahman, meaning I am Brahman, and so, or I am that. You know, everything's Brahman and I am that. So, like this. So they're misusing what's here. But Om is the actual one that gains the benefit. And then the other is for understanding. So the rest of this verse starts with an Om. That's what's being understood. Now, what aspect of Om are we understanding? This one that's being referenced here. Does that make sense? So all the Vedic verses are only describing Om. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? And then, because Om has unlimited aspects, therefore the unlimited verses of the Veda. Right? And Om means the Lord, the living entity, his internal potency, their interactions, and the place in which they interact, the holy dham. So the Lord's name, form, qualities, pastimes, entourage, paraphernalia, dham, that's Om. Right? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. If that. So that's what's being defined. So here we're just seeing is that he's the person residing here. So we're seeing on this particular level. But then other verses, then they'll describe Krishna back in Goloka. Kratosmara, Kritagamsmara. Shamshaya. Is the person seen and meditated on the four-faced demigod Brahma, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Purva Paksha? The text here says that the devotee who meditates on Om of one link attains the world of men. The devotee who meditates on Om of two links attains the world of heaven. And the devotee who meditates on Om of three links attains the world of Brahma. The planet here is the planet of the four-faced demigod Brahma. And the person seen by one who goes there is the four-faced demigod Brahma. Right? So he's taking it as there. He's not taking it that Brahma, the world of Brahma, means Brahman means the Supreme Lord. Right? Because if you take this as all is there, if this Om means Brahma, and you'll see that Brahma, then what does that mean? I can be that Brahma. Mm-hmm. I can be there for the Supreme. Mm-hmm. So anything that will support that they're the Supreme and can be the Supreme, then it's always there. Their, you know, angle, their predilection. Right? Yeah. Siddhanta. The conclusion follows. Ikshati karma vyapare shat saha. The person here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because the description of the object of vision here fits the Supreme Person. But he's the Supreme Brahman, not the Jiva, not Brahma. Because we've already established Brahma doesn't have those qualities. But he's not the supporter of everything. He's created by material energy. He'll be wound up into material energy. So that form of Brahma, that'll wind back up and end up in Mahatattva, back into avyakta, and then back into pradhan, and then back into the Lord. So therefore it can't be Brahma. Right? Okay. Sutra 1.3.13. Ikshati karma vyaparesat saha. Ikshati, of seeing, karma, object, vyaparesat, because of the description, saha, he. This person seen is Vishnu, because the qualities described refer to Vishnu. Sutra Prakashika. The Prashna Upanishad says that by reciting the Samaveda and Om, the wise man attains Brahma Loka. Right? So here, Samaveda, because Krishna says of the Vedas, he of the four Vedas, then he'll be the three, and of the three, he's Sama. Right? So that means that one's about the Lord himself, about the aspect of Prayojana. So in other words, chanting Om with the aspect of Prayojana, that means then you're dealing with the Icha Shakti, in other words, about the Lord's satisfaction. So that will get you to that Brahmaloka. Because here that Brahmaloka means the transcendental realm. So for that, for us, that means the spiritual world. Right? Does that make sense? The doubt arises over whether Brahmaloka is the abode of Lord Brahma or of Lord Vishnu. The present sutra affirms that the Upanishad refers to Vishnuloka, due to the fact that the person here is described as supreme, param, ageless, ajaram, and immortal, amritam. The commentator also supports this definition of Brahmaloka by way of a grammatical argument. Nishada stapyat yadikarana nyaya. The logic of the leader who is a nishada. That will be explained?
Yes.
Okay. Shigovindabhasya. Vishaya, it is said in Prashna Upanishad, O Satyakama, this higher and lower Brahman is Omkara. Therefore, by this means, the knower attains one of these. Prashna Upanishad 5.2. Okay, this higher and lower Brahman. So that means there's all aspects of Brahman. It's all connected to the Lord. So we say is that if we're taking universal form as the gross form of the Lord, then how much more is this? So it's considered the lower form. Right? He who by the three syllables of Om meditates on the Supreme Person attains the bright sun. So here then three syllables is A-U-M. Right? And then the others you have the links of how long you say it. So in any case it's going to have three. Right? And then you have the Om, and then you have the Chandra Bindu, which has two parts. Like this way you always... Mm-hmm. Krishna is known as the Lord of Threes. He who meditates on the three syllables of Om meditates on the Supreme Person, attains the bright sun. As a snake becomes free from its old skin, this person becomes free of sin. He rises to Brahmaloka by chanting the Sama verses. He sees that person in his abode, that person who is superior to the mass of jivas. Prashna Upanishad 5.5. Shamshaya, the doubt is this, is the person seen and meditated upon Brahma or the Supreme Lord? Purvapaksha, is explained that the worshipper of one syllable of Om reaches the world of men. The worshipper of two syllables reaches Antariksha. The worshipper of three syllables attains Brahmaloka. According to the sequence of planets, Brahmaloka must mean the planets of Brahma, Satyaloka. Going there, a person sees Brahma. Thus, the person mentioned is Brahma, not the Lord. Siddhanta, Ikshati karma vyaparesat saha. This person seen as Vishnu because the qualities described refer to Vishnu. The Supreme Lord is who is seen. Ikshati karma. Why? Because the knower attains by Omkara the person who is peaceful, ageless and immortal, fearless and supreme. Because otherwise, if we're going to take Brahma as immortal, then we have to be using the definition given by the karmis, right? Because the heavenly planets are considered amara, or deathless. But that would be improper for the impersonalists to be using, because their definition of immortal is Brahman. So technically, according to what they say, it can't be Lord Brahman. Mm-hmm. Having discerned this, the word Brahmaloka must mean the planet of Vishnu. Brahmaloka means the planet which is Brahman, not the planet of Brahma. Just as Nishada Stapati means the leader who is a Nishada, not the leader of the Nishadas.
Right.
So even though it's using the same words, the leader of the Nishadas may not be a Nishada, but the leader who is a Nishada is a Nishada.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. So when we say the leader of the Nishadas, then that takes it above. Like Nala. He's the king of the Nishadas, but it's not that he's a Nishada. Right? Otherwise, how would he marry the princess? Right? Does that make sense? Bhagavatam verse reference. The sound Om carries the meditator to the eternal abode of the Supreme Lord, not to the planet of Chaturmukh Brahma. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:63-34. Sri Rudra said, "You alone are the absolute truth, the supreme light, the mystery hidden within the verbal manifestation of the absolute in its form of language, the Vedas. Those whose hearts are spotless can see you, for you are uncontaminated like the sky." Footnote 19. Lord Shiva speaks this verse after being defeated in battle alongside Banasura. Shiva was induced to fight by the Lord's bewildering potency. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur paraphrases his subsequent conversation with Krishna. "You are the Parabrahma, the very form of spiritual light. The Lord says to Arjuna in Harivamsa, 'Superior to that is the Parabrahma, which spreads itself over the whole universe. You should know that the concentrated light is mine.' If you know that I am Supreme Brahman, then why did you fight with me?" Anticipating that question, Shiva says, "Since you are secret even in the Vedas, Vakmaye Brahmani, Brahman in language form, then how can you be known? Then can no one know me? Those who are pure souls without the contamination of Maya can see you."
Sorry, I got cut. There's just one other line at the bottom. It says, "Can see you, but how can I, filled with tamas, see you who, like ether, are the shelter of Maya, but not touched by it?"
Shifted down.
Yeah. But only for the next three pages.
Aha. Okay. Yeah, so he's making that distinction here that Brahman, he is the one who knows the Vedas. So the Vedas, then they go back to Om. Without Om, they don't mean anything. So that means if he's the Vedas, that means Om has to be talking about him. It doesn't say Brahma is the Vedas. It never says that. It's interesting just on this, because we were mentioning before, depending upon how it's written in the Vedic Sanskrit, then it defines whether it's Brahman meaning the Supreme, Brahman meaning the Pramajyoti, Brahman meaning Lord Brahma, you know, like this. So because there was that problem when it's translated into English, because this using a Brahman, putting an N at the end, though I'm not sure if it's grammatically correct or not, that was actually done, Jayadwaita Maharaj was explaining that Rai Rama, because he was working with the BBT, he was the editor. So he put that in so we could tell the difference between, Lord Brahma, Brahman, you know, as the Supreme, because otherwise people get confused. And somehow or another, then Prabhupada, you know, let it run. But technically, it's not there. But that's just, it's our usage, and so then we can make that clear distinction. That's why it becomes also more of a confusion, because in classical Sanskrit, it's the same word. You know, so therefore, in the English diacritics, it would be the same word. But we put Brahman on it, so therefore, it doesn't have that problem. Okay. Okay, so that ends that one?
Yeah.
Okay. Adhikarana 5, the space in the heart. Dahara Dikaranam. Sutras reference 1:3, 14-23. So long. Oh no, we're finished here. Okay, so stop. So we're clear on this, is that the making the distinction between those where there's common qualities, because it said the qualities of the jiva are the same as the Lord, but they're minute. So, but the way we're talking about these qualities in connection with these verses, then is with the unlimited. So it can't be referring to the jiva. It has to be referring to the Lord. So because there's common aspects in those qualities we see also with the material nature, therefore the mistake is being made. But if we see the context in full, it can't be that, because these qualities are only there exclusively in the Supreme Lord. But it doesn't mean that the jiva doesn't have qualities. Right? Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jaya Srila Prabhupada ki, Jaya Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Janitai Gaura Premanandini.